It's time to recap McCook City Council meeting number 2 for the month of January in our studios. They've thawed out for the last 5 minutes. City Manager Nate Schneider, how you doing?
I'm good. My glasses are fogged over.
I know.
It doesn't matter how much I thaw out. I've got my readers on and they're fogging up. So it's much warmer in here than it is outside.
Doesn't take much for those glasses to fog up, does
no,
it?
No, not at all. Nope.
Councilman Jerry Calvin is a lot. He loves this cold weather, don't you?
I like the winter. I do. This is a little extreme.
Oh, I was being sarcastic on that one, but I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I do like the colder weather, but not Arctic freeze.
I know it, yeah.
It does wake you up. I mean, that's the one good thing about it. I mean, you're pretty clear-minded all day long. You go outside and it's gonna slap you across the face.
Right,
so
right.
It's like smelling salt or something like that.
If you're in a deep... You're a fog or something like that, and you're feeling really tired, just walk outside for 2 minutes, and that'll wake up
in a hurry. Yeah, that's exactly right.
Let's recap meeting number 2 for the McCook City Council for the month of January. We'll start first. Anything, announcements, and recognitions?
No.
Nothing last night. All right. You had a presentation, financial statements, and supplemental information for fiscal year ending September 30th. Yeah.
So every year, and obviously every political subdivision, political entity, they have to have an audit, and this year we had our audit at the end of October. Usually it's in November, but timing-wise, trying to fit everything in for our auditor, it was just the best time for them. And so we had our audit, and everything came back good. She made her presentation of the audit and presented the materials to the council last night. And as far as updates, she does a really good job. They've got a cheat sheet that she hands out just to kind of show where we rank or stack against other towns that are similar to us. One of these days I'm going to ask her what town she's comparing us to, but I haven't done that yet. Where McCook stands in comparison to a lot of other communities is very good. And we also are sitting pretty well with respect to the industry standards that they want to make sure that we're meeting. You know, just kind of a couple of highlights. When you take a look at our top 4 sources of revenue, the city of McCook actually is ahead of the other comparable towns that we're compared against. You know, whether it's state allocation of highway funds, property taxes was just a couple of dollars more per capita, grants and contributions, and sales tax. On the flip side, when we go through and we take a look at it, we do a good job of making sure that we expend funds on projects that are necessary. And the one highlight that I always like to show is that we do a very good job of getting our state highway allocation spent. We actually sit at about $154 per capita. The average that we get compared to is about $136. We try to get those projects done as quickly as possible. This year was a very abnormal year as far as projects because we had projects at the EDC kind of spearheaded as well, too. We're doing our best to try to make sure that we get the street projects done and we get those funds expended so that way people get the best bang for their buck. I always kind of find it interesting to see where the city ranks in all of our departments compared to other departments. Not that it really shows, you know, anything other than the fact that we know where we have valued our priorities. And so they actually will go through and show where we rank against our contemporaries. With respect to administration, fire, cemetery, ambulance, airport, handy bus, pool, park, library, civil defense, planning, police, senior center, auditorium, and health operating and perpetual care. And, you know, we do our best to try to make sure that we determine what our priorities are and then we spend accordingly. And so they kind of gave us a breakdown as far as where we're at compared to our contemporaries with that. As far as our outstanding debt, we're sitting in good shape. We've got the ability to do some things because we're at a 1.74% ratio. Anything less than 3 is excellent. And so we're sitting in excellent position, which is good because with all the projects that we have going on, we need to make sure that we've got a little bit of flexibility. We don't have a lot of unrestricted general fund dollars. Most everything is going to be allowed for use. As far as cash reserves, one of the things that we would like to try to do is increase that cash reserve mark. We've been working on that for years now, and we're slowly getting to where we want to be. But if you're ever in a position where you've got, you know, an emergency or what have you, you want to make sure that you've got cash on hand to continue operations for a period of time. What we've been told in the past is you want to have 3 months of operating reserves. And so we're getting closer and closer to that goal. As far as the utilities go, we're standing in good shape there as well, too. You know, one of the things that we try to make sure that we do is we set aside adequate reserves for big projects. We've got some big projects coming up with the wastewater treatment plant and the water treatment plant. And so we make adjustments at the recommendation of PFM to assure that we're always taking into account what we need to do, not just now, but also in the future. And so that's why you see rates change. It's not that we want to increase rates, but we also have to make sure that we've got water and sewer provided to the public. And then we just went through the audit as a whole. I'm not going to go through the whole thing. It's fairly thick. But there were no substantial findings. Everything checked out the way that we expect it to. I think that the only thing that we got dinged on was there was a note that we were working on. The EDC actually had paid off a loan to MNB, and the payment actually occurred before we got the note done. The note was completed after the fact, so we got the promissory note. So that's one of those things where we probably just need to make sure that we're communicating with one another and we know what each other is doing in advance. But once the city was alerted that that's what was going on, we got the promissory note completed. So aside from that, there was nothing else that was mentioned. In the past, I remember when I first started, I think that we used to have 6, 7, 8. Now we're down to none. And it's really kind of exciting to see. And a lot of it goes back to Leanne Doak and her crew. They do a fantastic job. You know, it's about 2 to 3 days of just, you know, tense review, and we're always ready with any questions that the auditors have. I'm always amazed at how organized Leanne and Connie and Tracy and Lilia and Debbie and Jessica are over at the offices, and the department heads do a fantastic job as well, too. So another clean bill of health, and we look forward to continuing to operate that. We take a lot of pride in it. I think that we do a very good job of being good stewards of the taxpayers' dollars, and we're going to continue to do so.
It's something that happens every January, right?
Yeah, so we do our presentation either in January or February, just depending on. There's a lot of stuff that we have to do after the audit's done. We have to do our MD&A, which is just basically a report, and that gets included in the audit. So Leanne and I sit down, we do our MD&A, but it basically states the financial position and all the things that have happened over the course of the year and prior years that impact the city's budget. And then we go through and we review the entire audit to make sure that there are no inaccuracies or anything. And so I'll go through it individually. Leanne will go through it individually. Tara will go through it individually. Then we'll all just rally back together again, make sure that we're all on the same page. Then we submit our questions or remarks or changes to the auditor. They'll explain why they have something written the way they do or not. And then the final product is finished, and then we take it to the council.
Chair, anything?
No, just excellent. Excellent audit report. Like Nate said, the citizens can sleep well at night knowing that finances are squared away and there is no waste. As Nate said, to repeat that, the staff are excellent stewards of every penny we are taxed on. There's just no waste. Every dollar, every dime, every penny is valued as such, that there's just, the audit is an excellent report. I do read them, and I don't fall asleep anymore. I do read them because I understand them, and I'm very, very impressed with the city staff. The audit was excellent.
Consent agenda, anything, had quite a few items, anything really pulled for discussion?
No, didn't pull a one.
I see that council radio show schedule. Mm-hmm. Is, of course, we meet here after the Tuesday after every meeting. And yeah, You've got some crack sealing projects, stuff like that on the horizon for
We just took the specs to the council to approve the specs. Hopefully it'll warm up and here soon, and we can really start talking about crack sealing. I look forward to that day because this is just miserable right now. So, had some things that we were doing. We actually we had to ratify some changes to some agreements with Miller and Associates. We were working on a South Street to A Street water replacement. That actually got rolled in. That part got canceled, but got it rolled into a different project. We needed to make sure we had some SRF funds that we needed to make sure that we transferred over from that original project, which was like a 2018 or 2019 contract, into the new work that we're doing. And so the council ratified that last night. We entered into another agreement with West Central Nebraska for nuisance abatement projects this year, which was very successful, I thought, last year. And so we look forward to working with them. They take one district and then we do the rest. But that is a huge, huge help, because nuisance abatements take a lot of time and there's a lot of work that goes into them. And so they usually take areas of town that probably need a little bit more assistance, and I appreciate the fact that they're willing to take that on. And then also we're applying for another CCCFF grant for the sports complex, so the council approved moving forward with that process. So we're going to get that application done and submitted to DED by February 15th.
Regular agenda, discussion regarding potential convenience by the city and to the McCook EDC to develop workforce housing on a property.
Yeah, this is a project that Amanda Engel, the housing director at the McCook Economic Development Corporation, has come up with. She's a very dynamic lady, a very progressive worker. She's always looking for something, and she's got great ideas. And she identified that vacant lot at East 11th and C Street that goes over to East 10th. That's a whole city block that she wants to put workforce housing in there. We need houses in McCook. We all know that. And so this lady is working very hard. She identified this location and said we can put 6 to 8 houses up on this thing. The taxpayers own that lot. The city of McCook owns that lot. So we are working on an ordinance, and Nathaniel Mushton, our city attorney, believes he's got the correct verbiage in an ordinance that would basically give the property to the McCook Economic Development Corporation on behalf of the city to develop housing on behalf of the city. So it's like they're going to develop it for the city, but it will be workforce housing development. So we're in the initial stages of getting the property into their control, into the EDC control. And then from there, Amanda will take it and find companies, contractors who want to build these houses or bring them in. But again, to be able to take a whole block at one time and add hopefully 8 housing units to the stable that the people have to buy a home is just absolutely exciting. And it's all through Amanda's efforts. She is just going after it. God love her. She's a dynamo.
You know, and like Jerry said, I mean, the nice thing about this, with all the projects that we have going on right now, you know, a lot of what we're using for guidance is the housing study from 2022. And we know that we have a bunch of different needs in our community at different price points. And so what you're seeing in some areas, you're seeing some market rate construction going on. You're seeing duplexes. I think that you're going to see some multifamily apartment units. We're even going so far as to trying to TIF projects now that that's allowable by the state of Nebraska. And that's the actual housing construction itself, not just the public improvements. It's now allowed for housing structures themselves. But this is a different price point. We're talking about trying to bring in workforce housing. And the price point that Amanda has mentioned is around $200,000 to $225,000. I had been asked, and I haven't had a chance to call Mike back. He Mike Gonzalez had sent me a message yesterday asking what does rural workforce housing mean, and according to the definition, it's 60% to 150% of the area median income, and so. Median income, I was doing some work on the comp plan yesterday. In 2021, it was around $51,000, $52,000. So you could take 60% to 125% of that and figure out what that number would be. But we got to make sure that we're figuring out a way to build houses for everyone. I know I remember talking to Jerry when his son was looking for a house here in McCook, and it was expensive across the board. And I'm not saying $200,000 to $225,000 isn't expensive, but in comparison to some of the other alternatives out there, it's not quite as expensive. And that's what the definition is right now. And so anyway, we're going to continue working through that process, trying to figure out how we can comply with both state and local ordinances come up with a strategy. Because, you know, in the end, you know, like Jerry said, I mean, this is a public benefit, trying to get new houses in here so we bring more people to McCook. We expand that tax base.
Yep.
You know, we do all the things that we need to do to make sure that McCook thrives in the future. That's what we got to do. So we're trying to get creative.
Yep.
Update regarding the sports complex project.
I wrote everything down.
I see you added a couple of reappointments of John Olson and Mike Mendenhall.
I did. Yep. Committee. We got John and Mike there on the committee now, and we're excited to have them. And we had a good conversation with the college here a couple weeks ago, kind of working through the possibility of bringing them on trying to work through some of their concerns, then also some of the needs that the city has. And so we'll continue to work with them. But I thought it'd be good to have John and Mike on. They'll do a good job. We also met with them. So that was on January 8th that we met with the college. Also on January 8th, we had a sports complex committee meeting that evening. And a really good discussion. We had a good turnout. It wasn't just the sports complex committee members. We had a lot of people from the public come out and share their thoughts and learn a little bit about what the project is and meet Mammoth, because Mammoth is relatively new to our area, but they aren't new to sports complex constructions. They've been doing this for a while. During the course of the conversation, they just basically asked the group that was there, the committee and all the public, what would you like to see? And so there are some things that were added as far as topics of discussion and areas of interest. I know that basketball courts, tennis courts, pickleball courts, an indoor facility, splash pad, playground areas, those are the kinds of things that people wanted to see out there as well, too. And our original concept that we had shared with the public showed about 30 acres of ground that was going to be devoted to the sports complex. After that meeting, we kind of knew, all right, we might have to resize this a little bit to try to fit everybody's wants into this area, because we've got one shot at this, and we want to make sure that we maximize that space and the amount of value that the public's going to get out of this, not just now, but into the future. So that next day, we had a chance to meet with Miller and Associates. They were in town to work through the comp plan and zoning regs. And so we had Mammoth and Miller's there, and we plan on having Miller's and Craig Bennett help us out with the subdivision of the ground out there. So it just got us to talk and think about what this might look like. That original concept had housing on the interior of the beltway, is what I called it last night. I don't know if it's a beltway. It's a circular street that would encompass the sports complex. And on the interior of that, right on the back side of the sports complex, were 20 houses. And so we kind of tinkered around with it. Charlie McPherson came over. We talked about if we were to eliminate those 20 houses and add additional space for recreational purposes, what would that look like? And does that change how we develop the area? After talking with Charlie and kind of working it through with Craig and Mammoth, we thought, okay, if we eliminate 10 to 20 houses, it really probably isn't going to make much of a difference to the overall development of the area. So we asked Mammoth to go back, come up with a design that included the amenities that I had mentioned, the add-ons. Which they did. They came back the next day with a new concept, which we shared with the council and with the sports complex committee. And then we shared it last night as well, too. And basically, for 40 acres, I think we can get everything that we want, and we don't lose any of the commercial or multifamily property. The only thing that we would lose would be 20 houses. But those kind of had issues to begin with anyway, because they'd be on the backside of the ballpark. So were those going to be big enough lots? Were they going to have issues with lighting? Were they going to have issues with sound? Those were things we weren't quite sure about. So by eliminating those houses, I don't know if we lose too much. I think that the more desirable lots are still going to be on the east and north sides of the property. And so I think that it works. We got a chance then that following week to sit down and talk with Millers and Mammoth again and we started to talk about infrastructure. We started talking about, you know, which streets we wanted to prioritize. We talked about sewer and water and how everything would sit and the materials that we want to use and what our standards are at the city. So that was a good conversation. And then we also talked about how fast we want to get the subdivision process started and how quickly we want to get it passed. And so Craig Bennett right now is working on the subdivision process. He is taking the newest concept, and he's going to draft everything out. We're going to take it to the Planning Commission and Council. It'll be a major subdivision, so it's going to have to go before the Planning Commission and Council two times. But it will be probably in March and April when we take that to the Council and to the Planning Commission, and then afterwards we'll have a brand new subdivision. Understanding that there's got to be street development and those kinds of things as well, too, which will come. It's just a matter of time. As far as other things that we've been working on over the course of the past couple of weeks, we are meeting with a company today at 9, actually, to start work on a feasibility study. So Tara and Kyle and myself have been sending information out to the feasibility study company. They're going to actually give us an idea of what the new sports complex will mean for revenue, try to figure out how to sell that sports complex, what we can, you know, assume that we're going to get, what's going to make the sports complex a destination. Sports tourism is kind of a catchy phrase that you hear a lot now, but it's true. And I know my family, we travel around for sports, and I think most families probably do. If we can make a facility that's attractive, I think that we're going to get a lot of people to come to McCook. We're situated in a good location, halfway between Omaha, halfway between Denver. And then to the north and south, you've got Rapid City, Wichita, and then all the towns around our area. So we need to figure out a way to make sure that McCook is attractive to these individuals. And if you build it, they will come. I truly believe that this is going to be a game changer for McCook. You start talking about the other things that are going to develop around there, you know, the commercial possibilities. It's just really exciting. So that feasibility study is going to be a part of the design process. Hopefully we get that feasibility study back in March, because the other thing that we've been working on is grants. Tara, Jessica Bortner, and myself have been working on grant opportunities. This last Friday, we just went through a slew of grants trying to figure out deadlines. Like I had mentioned earlier, we had submitted our letter of intent for the CCCFF grant here this past week, and we're going to be doing the actual application here this next month. We're going to work with Lori Ashoff on that. We have grants that Jessica Bortner is going to help us out with. She's actually working on a prospectus right now. She sent me over a copy yesterday so we can start looking and reviewing how we advertise ourselves to different philanthropic organizations and promote McCook to get them interested in this project. So then the other thing that we're working on is we are starting a conversation with D.A. Davidson. They're a bond underwriter, and then also with our bond counsel, Mike Rogers. Paul is going to be a McCook today, and so we're going to sit down and kind of go through some numbers and then also some timing as far as when we want to issue bonds for the sports complex. So that was all done in 2 weeks. So that was the last 2 weeks. So we're moving forward with it. It's exciting. We can't wait to get this project started.
You're meeting sometime, couple of times every month on this.
Yeah. No,
it's going to happen.
It's going to happen sooner rather than later.
Right?
So I think the design phase is going to be quicker than what people realize. And depending on what direction we go as far as the delivery method, you know, construction might be quicker than what we thought originally as well, too.
Jerry, anything?
Nope. Just a lot of moving parts.
A lot of moving parts.
Project. Boy, yeah. I think he's got 6 bowling balls in the air at any given time that he's juggling between the bonds and the development and this and that. And holy cow. But it's going to be phenomenal when it's done.
Got some good people to work with.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So we've got great people in place. So
Especially staff. I've got great staff to help, so that's fantastic.
Discussion regarding the setting of the user fees for the McCook Aquatic Park. Summer will be here before you know it.
Yeah, praise God. Yeah, last year, due to the overwhelming generosity of the McCook Community Foundation, they paid the whole fees for everybody. I mean, that was a beautiful example of citizens in action. Mm-hmm. But now we got to get to reality. How much are we going to charge? And the city staff have given us examples from communities such as Aurora and Waverly, Colby, Kearney, Holdridge, Lexington, North Platte, on what they charge. And boy, it's all over the board from one extreme to the other. So that's our homework. City staff gave it to the council last night and said, okay, give us some direction on where do you want to set the fees at. So we're talking about it. It's just a discussion at this point. But we're looking at making it reasonable. I mean, it's a beautiful aquatic park. We want to use it. It doesn't make any sense to put all this work into it and then have it so high price that you can't take your family there. It's counterproductive. So that's our homework. We're going to look at it and set the prices for the summer and go from there.
Pretty cool. It's going to be a whole open for a whole summer.
A whole summer. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's going to be just sweet.
Yeah.
The short time period we had was overwhelming. Mm-hmm. With just every time I went by there, there was kids everywhere. Families were everywhere. And boy, you talk about sports tourism. I know the pool isn't exactly sports, but it's recreation and it's family time. And the fact that we have this gorgeous pool, thank you, taxpayers. Thank you, voters.
And McCook Community Foundation, for paying for all the entry fees this last
they
year.
They really made an impact there. But it's nice to know we have that. Oh, let's go to McCook. Let's go to this brand new aquatic park. I keep wanting to call it a pool, and it's not a pool. Yeah. It's an aquatic park, for crying out loud. So, yeah, we just got to figure out what we need to be reasonable with fees on getting people to come in. But we're going to be thinking about the families, that's for sure.
Yeah. Discussion regarding potential revenue options for the city of McCook.
Yeah, so there's a new piece of legislation that was introduced here to begin the session, LB 117. And that would be similar to the legislation that removed sales tax from water sales. This would extend to sewer, electric, and natural gas. And part of the revenue that we receive as a city is sales tax. Sales tax is actually the largest chunk that we receive to make sure that we're able to operate our town the way that people expect us to. So if there was an elimination of sales tax on those three items, it would have an impact on our sales tax numbers. So we're just trying to figure out what that means for us. And I need to do a little bit of math to figure out what this might mean for us, because it's on residential units, not commercial units. So I need to figure out what that loss would mean. And then also, if we were to lose that revenue, you know, is there a way to make that up somewhere else so we're able to provide those services that we need to provide to keep the city running the way that we are? So that was just an initial discussion last night. You know, we talked about hotel occupation tax. We talked about cell phone occupation tax. One of the things that we, you know, are aware of is, you know, in our occupation tax receipts are fairly minimal at this point in time compared to other communities. We, because of our size of town, we can't exceed $700,000 in occupation tax receipts without taking a vote of whatever it is that we're planning on installing to the people. And so we would have to check and see what these numbers would look like if we do have to go that route, or if we do decide to go that route. The other thing we sent out to the council as well, too, is just our current fee schedule so they could see where our fees are compared to other towns that are somewhat similar to us. We had Grand Island and Kearney. And I think Beatrice was in there as well, too, and gave them a chance to kind of see what we charge in comparison to others. In some places, we charge for things that other towns don't, and then in other places, those towns charge for things that we don't.
And are there some things that we can do on that side to try to make up some of those differences? And so it's just kind of a discussion item. I didn't want anybody to be shocked. You know, if 117 became law, I don't want people to be shocked and say, well, wait a second, we didn't know that this was a possibility. When the water sales tax was eliminated, you know, it was kind of a big deal. And the one thing that I would say is the sales tax is totally different. So even though we're talking about utilities, so sewer is a utility, it's an enterprise fund, those sales tax dollars go to the general fund. The general fund is your police department, your fire department, all the public works, so the airport, the cemetery, you know, ballparks, parks, streets, you know, and then you'd be talking about your building inspection, your senior center, your library, administration, all that stuff. We run all those things, and that's just a small microcosm of all the things that we do. But what we need to do is make sure that we're not going to get put in a situation where we can't provide those services or have to cut those services, because I think that people have established the fact that those are important to our community. So I just wanted to put this on everyone's radar, keep an eye on it. And on our side, we just need to make sure that we're doing our best to account for whatever happens.
Boy, Jerry, just hand me the fees. Oh my gosh, talk about a thick book on that one. Oh my.
Well, you have to have
small print.
You have to
too.
Have a magnifying glass to see that. So
When I got home last night, Robin asked me how the meeting went. I said, "Well, Nate gave us two pieces of homework between the aquatic park charges and then these options on how to raise more revenue." I mean, mm-hmm. there's just You know, I hate the phrase "think outside of the box," but you got to think outside the box. With the legislature and some of the decisions they've made, makes it more difficult for the city staff to fund all the things that make McCook work. And you just can't keep going to property tax. God forbid. No, that's why we have the sales tax. As Nate said, that's the greatest part of our revenue. Mm-hmm. Well, okay, we need to work on that, increasing that enough just to. Property tax relief. That's what it's all about. So we've got to get creative and not stupid. There's you know, stupid creative ways, which usually I come up with, but there are ways to a little bit here and a little bit there eventually does make a big difference. And that's what I was encouraged when Nate gave us this really fine print thing is there's areas in which we can charge a nominal fee for this and a nominal fee for that. It's not going to make a big difference in that, but again, you combine it, it becomes a nice revenue source to help out.
So more on this coming up in future meetings, I'm sure.
Correct.
And yes. I know you're keeping tabs on what's happening down in Lincoln with a session, aren't you? Legislative session.
Yeah, we get good updates from the League of Municipalities every week, so I go through and I review it. It's too hard to keep track of everything and also do everything else that we're doing. So sure. I really rely on the League to get me information. So over the weekend, I'll sit down and I'll read the legislative bulletin and see how things are kind of shaking. And but that 117 kind of caught my attention right off the bat, so that was kind of an interesting. And I understand the argument. You know, the argument is those are necessities. You know, and you treat it the same way that you treat groceries or whatever. And I understand the argument on our end. You know, it would have an impact on us. Probably our electric utility would be the one that we derive the most revenue from. And I'm not sure what that number is exactly. Like I said, I haven't put pencil to paper, but it would be something that we would have to look at and try to figure out how to make up that difference.
Next up, I have ordinances, one dealing with fireworks, fire prevention fireworks. Is that right?
Yeah, this one's kind of I think Chief Harpin brought this forward. It's just kind of tidy it up, clean it up. He found that there's times that fireworks can be used in the city of McCook, but the times and dates that they can be sold didn't match. So it didn't really make a lot of sense that you'd have different times. Mm-hmm. And then also under his authority, if there's special occasions, weddings, anniversaries, you know, whatever, that you want to utilize fireworks, like the Freedom Fest. That's another good example. It's outside the range of the normal dates. You can go to the fire chief, apply for a permit, and see if it passes muster. And In the past, we missed it with the ordinance. It didn't give a bracket of time. So chief could give a permit for August the 8th, but there was no times. So he had to put that in the new ordinance. And then we increased the fee for the fireworks vendors to apply, which ours was really
75.
Yeah, it's pretty low compared to the.
I get the really the low. Change was to 150.
Yeah, yeah, we doubled it, but you know that's still
it's nominal. Still less than other towns.
Still nominal. So this was kind of a cleanup ordinance. Chief Harpin caught all that and said, "Okay, let's get all this uniform so it makes sense." And so first of three readings, really nobody cared. There was nobody in the audience to express any opinion about it. So. Yeah. Went through on first reading.
And another ordinance dealing with water.
Yeah, we passed the backflow preventer ordinance last night, so that one's done and in the books.
Council comments.
I had one, which is amazing. Usually I just don't have anything to say. I know that's hard to believe, right? But my wife and I were lucky enough to go to the open house at the McCook Community College East Campus.
Yes, indeed.
I've gotten myself away from calling it the Elks Club. It's not the Elks Club. That's the past history. Beautiful history, wonderful history, but now it's the East Campus.
With the Elks logo on the floor.
So there. Cool, yeah. Yeah, yeah. President Purdy pointed that out to me. Yeah. I was chatting with him. We were standing on it, and he said, "Well, here's a little bit of history we saved." Boy, that brought back memories. But that building is beautiful. Wow, what an addition to our educational opportunities in McCook. They have an actual ambulance box. Mm-hmm. And that brought back memories. Holy cow, I stepped in there, like, wow, how many times did I work in one of these?
Right.
And the simulation of the ERs and the hospital beds and the conference rooms that they have there. I got lost a couple times because you go down this hallway, like, okay, where am I at now? But they did beautiful work. Uh-huh. The college really, really stepped up the game. Yeah. And it's so much fun to call it the East Campus.
Right.
You know, it makes it sound like UNL. You got downtown and East Campus. You know, now we have the East, South, and Main Campus of MCC. So it's growing. And I just wanted to thank the McCook Community College and Mid Plains Community College for the investment they made in McCook. Yeah. It just makes us stronger, more diversified.
You bet.
If anybody gets a chance, go take a tour. And then Mayor Taylor thanked Nate and all the city staff for all the work they've been putting in on the sports complex. As y'all heard, it is so complicated, but as long as you keep that five bowling balls in the air while you're working on the sixth, and so far Nate and the crew have been doing awesome. She just wanted to thank them for that and recognize their efforts.
Next couple of months are going to be fun, huh?
Yep. Yeah, it is really exciting right now. We're having a lot of fun with it.
All right. Next city council meeting for the first one in February is the 3rd?
Yep, February 3rd.
February 3rd. Very good. 3rd and the 17th. Anything other committee?
Planning Commission meetings next month, but nothing this month. So
all right.
No committee meetings. We were looking at doing a zoning and comp plan steering committee meeting at the end of this month. We had to push it back to February because we're still finalizing some of that. So I'm working on the comp plan, reviewing that right now. And hopefully, I think we're thinking maybe like February 27th for that. We'll see.
All right. Guys, thank you very much. City Manager Nate Schneider, thank you.
Thank you.
Councilman Jerry Calvin, thanks for the goodies this morning.
You're welcome.
You bet.
You're welcome very much.
You bet.